This is God's Word. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Lord, we ask, O Father, that You would graciously open up our hearts, that You would open up Your Word by the power of Your Holy Spirit this morning, that You would bring glory to Yourself, that You would call us to change and You would challenge us, but that You would also cause us to rejoice and take great joy in the miracle that You have done and the hope that it gives us. O Lord, may You bless the words of my mouth. May I be faithful to You, and may Your Word be effective this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll have to excuse me a second here because I'm a little sick, so my mouth is drying out really quickly. So I might take brief pauses to drink throughout the sermon today. Any of you know what this is? Any of you know what this is? Some of you from way back, what is it?
Babies.
It's babies. Yeah, it's actually more than just babies. It's our birth announcement. When Micah and Titus were born, it was our birth announcement. And you've probably gotten, you may not have gotten this particular one, but you may have gotten birth announcements in the mail. What's your reaction when you get a birth announcement? Oh, it's wonderful. That's wonderful. They had a baby. We had double the joy when these guys were born. It was just amazing. And so what did we want to do? We sent out birth announcements because we wanted to tell everybody, look how wonderful they are. Minutes after being born, they're looking around. You see their little personalities already. And we want to announce that we have two sons. It's a wonderful thing. Now, it changed our lives. But I don't think, and it changed some, maybe some other lives in here. But it wasn't earth-shattering to all of you, was it? You said, well, that's wonderful. The babies have been born. But your life wasn't rearranged according to my babies. Our lives were. But here in this passage, we have a birth announcement unlike any other. It's a birth announcement unlike any other. And it's not just to me. It's not just to you. It's not just to you. It's not just to this church or you know, the Protestants over in this little corner. It's to everybody. It's a birth that changes the world. Amen?
Yeah.
And so here we have God's birth announcement. To you, a child is born. Actually, that phrase comes from Isaiah. He was giving birth announcements 700 years before the birth of his son. But here, we have a birth announcement unlike any other. The baby has been born. God Himself has come in the flesh. And He's not just come in the flesh to say, "Hey, how you all doing? Look, I'm here. It's baby Jesus. It's God." He comes for a specific purpose. And we want to know this morning why He came. Why He came. This is good news, people of God, isn't it? It's good news. It's great news. And the angel puts it so well. I have good news for you. The gospel. I have good news of great joy, which is for everybody. So here this morning, we want to ask three questions. Why is this birth unique? Why is this birth unique? What pointers do we have in this birth announcement that says this birth is unique? Secondly, why is it good news? Why is it good news? And thirdly, how should we respond? How should we respond? Well, first, why is the birth unique? Why is this birth unique? First, it's the angels. Now, how many of you ever received a telegram? Any of you ever received a telegram in your life? Okay. What happens? Guy comes, knocks on your door, rings your doorbell, and it's usually a certain amount of lines. You answer the doorbell, and doesn't he read it to you? Or does he just hand it to you? Do you remember? He hands it to you. But a man comes in person, and the message is so important that he delivers it in person. It's short. It's like under 10 words. And he delivers it to you. But so, and we don't do telegrams anymore, do we? I talked to a man the other day who used to run telegrams to people. And it was like I was hearing from another era. Because I've never had a telegram. We live in the age of where mail is unusual, isn't it? Where we have, it's all electronic nowadays. But here, this is a birth unlike any other. Why? Because an angel comes. An angel. If you've seen an angel, if you saw an angel in the history of the world, you have had a unique experience. It's not every day that people see angels, despite what sometimes you hear from others. And okay, I see. Okay, I won't say anything. And you wake up, and there's your angel next to you, beside you, right? Your wife. But here, the angel comes to announce that Jesus Christ has been born. The angel. And not just one angel, but a whole heavenly host. Now, in the Old Testament, angels would come and prepare people for births. They would, you know, if you're thinking of Samson, the angel comes, prepares. This is what this child's life is going to be about. But here, it's the angel, and angels came to prepare Joseph, to prepare Mary for what was going to happen. But here we have an angel coming to shepherds, which is the second thing that makes Jesus' birth unique. Comes to shepherds, complete strangers, and announces the birth. When I send these things out, and I didn't get them to everybody, and probably some of you out there are saying, why didn't we get one? It was because we were overwhelmed with these two little ones. But I sent them to people I knew. I didn't send them to complete strangers. You know, I didn't look up in the book, okay, you know, here's someone who lives in Southwest Philly, I'm going to send one over there. Because it would have been completely meaningless to them. But here, a birth announcement comes to complete strangers, shepherds. And not just, the other thing about the shepherds is, it's important to realize, is that they weren't just complete strangers. In the world back then, they were lowlifes. They were outcasts. They were one rung up above lepers. Okay, so they were the lowest of the low. And you know what they did to lepers back then? They said, get out of our town. Get away from us. They completely rejected them. So that's who the birth announcement comes to first. To shepherds. It's amazing. And we have to ask, why? Why would it come to shepherds, to this random group of people? They were considered dishonest, they were considered crude, they were considered thieves because oftentimes they were suspect to pasture their flocks on other people's land. And so they were the lowest of the low. Why did the birth announcement come to the shepherds? And then lastly here, how is the birth of Jesus unique? Because of the sign. Verse 10 says this, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Lying in a manger. We don't go around talking about mangers except during Christmas, do we? You know what a manger is? It's an animal feeding trough. How many of you up out there, when you had your firstborn, would say, yes, the first place I'm going to put this baby, this newborn baby, who's very susceptible to disease, the first place I'm going to put this baby in is in a trough, a feeding trough, where animals drool, where they spit, where they throw up sometimes. How many of you would jump at that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That God Himself, it's not like this isn't an accident. God Himself is sovereign. He's in control. He chooses to be born in an animal feeding trough. Isn't that amazing? I don't care how, probably the closest identification to when a baby's born and placed somewhere today would be a dumpster baby. Where the baby's born and it's rejected and someone throws it in a plastic bag and leaves it out and hopes it dies. That would be similar. That's what God chose to come into. A manger, an animal feeding trough. I don't let my sons get anywhere near the doggy bowl on the floor or the kiddie bowl. When they start creeping over there or racing over there, I quickly jump in and take them away or take the bowl away. I'm cleaning up the doggy food on the floor because I don't want them to start eating dog food. I don't want them to get it. It's dirty. No offense to the owners of the dog. That is. My brother-in-law and sister have a dog, and so that's why. But I won't let them get anywhere near. This manger is a glorified doggy bowl. It's a glorified doggy bowl. And that's where Jesus, the Creator, is placed. The Creator, now incarnate in human flesh, is placed in a glorified doggy bowl. It's amazing. It's unique. It's unique. So, we see that it's unique. Unique circumstances. But what should that tell us about Jesus? What should that point to? And it points to the fact that this is... What does the angel want the shepherds to absorb? What does the angel want? What does Luke, the author here, and God, the divine author, what does He want us to absorb from this passage? That it is good news of great joy. Amen? That it's a good news of great joy. But why is it good news of great joy? The angels appear to the shepherds and they're terrified. One angel appears to the shepherd and they're terrified. Angels always say what when they appear to people in the Bible? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So all of you out there who really want to see an angel, I personally, after reading the Bible, would not like to see an angel until I'm in glory. There was a time when I prayed for it, but they're terrifying. The glory of the Lord shone about them. They're terrifying. The closest thing I can think of that comes to that great light that comes when the angels appear. When we lived on Snyder, we lived on the third floor apartment, and in the back room, in the bedroom, we had a deck out back, and there was a door, but it was a glass door. And the curtain that hung down was very thin, so we'd get light in the room. Well, wouldn't you know it, one night, probably within the first month that we moved in, and we're two little scared suburban night. My wife is from Lancaster. She's from farm country. Two little scared newlyweds, and we're up there sleeping, and 2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, I hear, and then this bright light just comes right in to the bedroom, and I woke up, what is going on? I was completely taken a surprise. And what we got used to it. It was one of the police helicopters, and they had the spotlight going, and they were looking for someone. But imagine that. You're in this big field. Some of the shepherds might be falling asleep. They're leaning back. You're watching the stars. You're watching the sheep. It's very dark. And all of a sudden, this angel appears. The glory of the Lord shines around them, a bright light. Why did the angel come? To say, look who this baby is. What does he say this baby is? He gives 3 names to this baby: Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior. He is a Savior. Amazing. We don't know, you know, and sometimes in other religions and in epics and folklore, you have prophecies about a baby who will come, so and who will be great, and so you kind of know in the story in advance that this, you know, the Dalai Lama, for instance, usually there's signs that the Buddhists think, well, that this is a telltale sign that this is going to be the next Dalai Lama. Or even the next Buddha, depending on what form of Buddhism you believe. But we don't have, you know, when Obama was born, someone did not come from God and say, he will be president. Even when he was running for office and it looked like he was going to win, we still didn't know that he was going to be president. But here, when the baby is born, the angels announce, this will be the Savior, this will be the Christ, this will be the Lord. So Savior, it's interesting that in the book of Luke, this is the only mention of the Savior here. So we should pay careful attention. What is a Savior? A Savior is one who delivers his people, delivers a group of people, or maybe even one person. We rarely use the term today. Except in, you know, if someone's drowning, they jump in the water, they rescue them, they might say, well, that person was my Savior. Someone who delivers people, rescues people. He is Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. It means anointed one, which means he's the Messiah. He's the one, the promised one, who'd been promised throughout the ages, who would come and save his people and establish his kingdom, who would be king. But he is also Lord. And it's very important that when we see one of the earliest Christian confessions, is Jesus is Lord. Now you sometimes see that on bumper stickers, but that's an early Christian confession. And when they said, it didn't spring up out of legend or anything like that. The Christians, and most of them were Jews, which is really surprising, were saying Jesus is Lord from the very beginning. What does that mean? Not just that he's king. See, there's a distinction there. There's Savior, there's King, and then there's also Lord. What is meant by that? When they use Lord, that's the same name used in the Greek Old Testament for God himself. He is Lord. He is Lord. This is God incarnate. This is God taking on human flesh, becoming a baby like one of us. This is the Creator becoming like one of us, being born from a woman. It's really amazing. God Himself, the Creator, the Sovereign, being born. So it's good news of great joy. Why? Because of who He is. It's good news of great joy because the angel says, this is to who? To you. He's speaking to the shepherds. But he also says, this is good news of great joy to who? To all the people. To everyone. Not just the shepherds. Not just the Jews, although it was to the Jews. Not just a Northern Europeans or Southern Europeans or Chinese. It's to all the people. Good news of great joy. That is for all the people. Why is that good news to someone like me? Because then he can become my Savior. He can become my Messiah. He can become my Lord. Amen? And I just want to focus for a second on Savior. What does He do as Savior? This is what He does as Savior. In the Gospel of Matthew, the angel comes and tells Joseph what they'll name the child. The name is Jesus, which means that He will save His people from their sins. Jesus means Yahweh saves. It means God saves. And here He comes as Savior. He comes to you and to I and says, I want to be your Savior. I want to be your Savior. I want to rescue you. I want to deliver you. I have fallen short. And I don't need... I realize this day after day as I grow older and older, I realize my sin, my rebellion before Him. How I don't like to go to Him. How I'd rather do other things than go to Him. I'd rather watch football or watch the television rather than to love Him, to rejoice in Him, to take joy in Him. There's so many other things. But in Him, because He's my Savior, I find joy. What does He do? He saves me from my sins. It's very clear at the birth of Christ that He came for a specific purpose, to save His people from their sins. All we have, like sheep, have gone astray. But God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The sin of us all. You know, sometimes... And I could go through the Ten Commandments and tell you how I've broken them in my heart and in my mind, by my words, by my actions this week. Probably today, all of them. But the Ten Commandments are summarized by one word. And this one word we fail over and over. Ten Commandments are summarized by one word. What's that word? The entire law is summarized by one word. It's also the word applied to God. Love. Love. And so you can look at it this way. I've failed to love. I have not wanted to love. That is my sin. I have not wanted to love God. I have not wanted to love my neighbor. And so what Jesus does, that creates a rift between me and God. And what Jesus does is bring peace to earth. The angel's announcement here in verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Jesus comes to bring peace. He comes to reconcile us who have sinned, who have rebelled against His love. He comes to reconcile us to Him. And so at the beginning, at the very beginning, what is Christmas about? Christmas is about the cross. Amen?
Yes.
Christmas is about the cross. Because Jesus will go to the cross. He didn't just go up there and He wasn't just crucified because people didn't like Him. Yeah, people didn't like Him. They didn't like what He was preaching and what He was calling, the type of life He was calling people to live. So they crucified Him. He didn't like that they were challenging, that He was challenging their authority. So they crucified Him. But He didn't just get crucified and killed as a martyr. He was crucified, and that was part of God's plan, so that God could place our sin on Him, so that in Him, in His death, our sin dies once and for all. Amen? So that is the message of joy, that I can be forgiven. That I can be forgiven. And that is great news. A great joy for all people. Another way in which this is great news is that when God comes He could not get any lower. He comes in a manger. He comes to shepherds. He stoops. He is born in poverty. We know from verse 22, a little later in Luke 2, we know from verse 22 that his family was actually poor. Now some people say, well, Joseph's a carpenter, he's a businessman, you know, he had money. When Joseph and Mary go to the temple, they offer the poor men's offering. Jesus was born in poverty. Jesus was born in a manger. He was born because there was no room at the inn. That's why he was born in a barn and in a manger, in an animal's feeding trough. And so God chose to be born that way. He chose to go to the lowest of the low. He chose to have his announcement made to the shepherds, which were the despised of that society. Who am I going to announce my birth to? I'm going to announce it to my friends and family. God announces his birth to the lowest of the low. He announces he comes in the lowest way, in the most humble way. So his message is good news of great joy to the lowest of the low. It's good news of great joy to the lowest of the low. The lowlifes, the scum of the earth, the oppressed, those that society considers rubbish, that we can ignore. Those, you know, you want to put it this way, you know, there are people out there, you're walking down the street, and you see them coming. What do? At least you're tempted. At the very least, you're praying, don't let them look at me, don't let them talk to me. And sometimes you even go as far as to cross over to the other side of the street. But you see, God's message is to you, it's God's message is to all, and it's especially to the lowest of the low. Those people that you are coming down the street and are babbling, it's to them. Those people who you want to, you know, challenge yourself this week and throughout this Christmas season to take this birth announcement to the lowest of the low. The people you don't want to talk to, the people you want to ignore, the people I want to ignore. That's what my heart says so often. Please don't let them, you know, I wish I could hide myself. But that is where, because that's what God did. The amazing story of Jesus' birth and that God became like one of us is that we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. He didn't die for us when we were all friends with God and when we made ourselves acceptable to God. He died for us when we were sinners, when we were enemies of God. He was gracious to us and loving to us. Think about how hard it is for you to love your enemies. And you'll all have your enemies, whoever they are. That is what God did for us. That is His grace to us. And that's how we know this is from God. Because there's no other story like this. There's no other story like this birth. There's and many of you have heard this before. How revolutionary is the coming of Christ? The love that God showed to us. It's this revolutionary. You have a judge and a murderer. And the judge pronounces judgment on that murderer. He says, the court has found you guilty. You must die for your crime. And then what does the judge do? This is what happens in the incarnation. He takes off his robes. He walks down. He stands beside this murderer. He puts his arm around him. And he says, and my son, I love you. And I will die in your place. Now, you would never read that in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Why? Because it's not something any of us would make up. This is divine, that God would love us in this kind of way. Well, lastly here, how do we respond? What do we do in response? First, the shepherds believe the message. Now, it may not be too hard for, you know, a shepherd. Here's the angel coming. Oh, wow, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And then the heavenly host. You know, the heavenly host. We don't use host that often. But you could say the heavenly army. appears to them and singing songs, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. But they still believed. They obeyed. They went to the manger. They said, let's go see this wonderful thing that has been done. Let's go and see about this child. So we believe, we trust that Jesus is who He said He is. That Jesus has come into the world to take away our sins. That Jesus has come to the world to bring reconciliation between you and God, between me and God, between us and God, and between each other. Believe that that is what He does. Trust in Him. Have your confidence in Him and not, I can't have confidence in myself. I've given up. But when I have confidence in Him, He works through me. And He does wonderful things. So believe. Secondly, be filled with joy. What do we do in response? Be filled with joy. For some of us, you know, Christmas becomes all about the presents and the lights and the getting the Christmas tree up. And so it's very distracting, and we can forget the real meaning and the joy of Christmas. But it's about good news of great joy. God incarnate coming. Mary, in response, treasures and ponders all these things in her heart. She treasures and ponders all these things in her heart. In response of God's love and His coming as a child, we too should then treasure. Amen? Treasure and ponder. Think of it. Think of the wonder. Take time, maybe daily, to read the story and think about God's love for you. Think about how the great lengths He has gone to be born in poverty, to be born like one of us. This is like one of us becoming an ant, God becoming human. Think about it, ponder it, wonder in it. And then the last part will become very easy. Go out, because now you have a birth announcement to make. Go out and announce His birth.
Yes.
Go out and announce His birth. If it is good news of great joy for you, it's second nature to talk about it. And you don't have to, you know, some people will react kind of coldly, or you know, you're trying to convert me to your religion and all that kind of thing. But it's good news of great joy. It's wonderful news. And I'm just telling you. I'm not shoving it down your throat. Jesus told us to prepare, be prepared to have people reject us all the time. And that's okay. That will happen. We should react with not anger, but compassion. Because then they're missing God's love and grace for them. But here, announce His birth. If one person out of 10 believes, that's wonderful. If one person out of 100 believes, that's wonderful. Be prepared to be rejected 99 times. But it's such great news that I don't care. I'm going to announce His birth. Amen? I'm going to announce His birth. So the message of Christmas, then, we respond to this birth by believing, being filled with joy, by announcing His birth, handing out birth announcements, but with your words and with the meditations of your heart. Ultimately, the message of Christmas is about changing lives and about a baby coming into God Himself coming as a baby and changing our lives. It's about encountering the One who stooped low enough to enter our poverty, the poverty of our sin. And it is good news of great joy for all the people. Now, how many of you have children? Metaphorically, we all have children, right? No. You remember when your child was born, those of you who have children. Those of you who don't, you've seen the great joy. Certainly in your family, children have been born. You've seen the great joy. I was ecstatic. I wanted to tell the world that I had twins. I couldn't wait to go out with the twins, walking around, people looking. Yes, I have twins. This is good news of great joy for all the people And it should fill us with greater joy than the birth of my own children. That's a high standard, isn't it? My happiest moment was when my children were born. When I saw Titus' little head starting to come out, and then he came out and he spread his arms and at the top of his lungs, I never knew joy like that than at that moment. Tears just started pouring out. And I thought I was looking at the very face of God. It was so beautiful and amazing. Here is good news of great joy. Not just for me. It should be like that. Amazing. And if it touches your heart, it will be like that. Amen? It will touch you deeply. It will touch you so deeply, it will transform your life. Good news of great joy. Announce it to all people. Amen? Announce it to all people. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that this Christmas, we know that you have given us good news of great joy, which is for all people everywhere, throughout the world, whatever their level in society is, whether they're the lowest of the low or the high and mighty, you bring good news of great joy. We thank you that you came as a baby to take away our sins and to restore us with peace to you. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. Lord, help us to declare and announce with joy what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.